Hello and welcome to Stories from a Small Blue Marble. My name is Brian Hancock and I'll be your storyteller. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for listening. These stories are my life in small bite-sized chunks. I have had an incredibly charmed life and I'm happy that you're here with me to enjoy some of it. So let's get started. This story is called A Summer in Sweden. The name speaks for itself. In the spring of 1980, I was doing some odd jobs around a boatyard in the south of England when I got a call asking if I was interested in spending the summer in Sweden. Well, Scandinavia to be more exact. I think that you can guess my answer. It was to be my first paying gig as a sailor. 150 Deutschmarks a day, which back then was around $50. I was ecstatic and flew to Stockholm to meet a man by the name of George Minden, his wife Pamela, and two very young girls. I think that they were around about 5 and 7. They were very sweet and took an immediate liking to me. George was a small Jewish man from Toronto who had made a pile of cash owning some high-end restaurants and a boutique hotel called the Windsor Arms. In my book of short stories, Twisted Tales, the Windsor Arms make a guest appearance. Anyway, his wife Pamela was from South Africa and was a real pain in the arse. Her idea of being rich was to drink champagne and eat caviar and wear inappropriate shoes on the boat, just because she could. The plan was for the five of us to sail across Sweden through the Göta Canal. It's a 250-mile trip from a place called Söderköping, which is south of Stockholm, to Gothenburg, or as the Swedes call it, Göteborg, on the west coast. We would have to lock up and down through 58 locks and 2 inland lakes. This was about as close to heaven as I'd ever been, and it was going to get even better. The first thing I noticed was how expensive everything was in Sweden, as in $30 for a 6-pack of beer. I was happy that I wasn't paying. The second thing I noticed was, well, let me tell you about that in a bit. We entered the canal on a stunning Swedish summer morning. Me and George were in charge. Pamela was prancing around in a bikini, and the girls were amusing themselves with some dolls and coloring books. I was happy and then got even happier. So here's the second thing I noticed. In Sweden, in the summer, most of the women are topless. Now let's put this into perspective. I was a 22-year-old horny male, and Sweden has some of the most beautiful women in the world. I thought that I had died and was not close to heaven, but that I'd actually reached heaven. The boomers were a definite distraction, but I managed to keep one eye on the canal and one eye on the shore, hoping that around the next corner there would be a topless girl. The locking system was still manually operated. We would sail slowly into the lock, tie up loosely alongside, and I would climb a rusty steel ladder to get to a big turnstile that would close the massive steel doors behind us. I forget how the water came in, but it did, and the boat rose. Some of the locks were close to 20 feet high. We were sailing uphill. The first lake we came to was Lake Vättern. We entered the lake and sailed south for a bit, and there on the shore was an old castle, and if you can believe it, the moat was the marina. It was in the town of Vadstena and was built by King Gustav in 1545. At night they lit up the sides of the castle. Each evening George and I would sit in the cockpit and have a few beers. Pamela would fix dinner. It was my duty around bedtime to cover the windows with towels to make it look like nighttime so that the girls could go to sleep. The sun in Sweden in midsummer sets around 10 and rises at around 3 in the morning, hence the need for towels. Now here's a side story. I still can't believe how my dad let me leave South Africa. I was just 20, heading off on a boat that he'd never seen and with a crew that he'd never met, with no certain date of return. Back then, phone calls were all but impossible, and letters took forever. It's very different from how it is these days. I don't know how I would feel if one of my sons came to me and said that they were going to go sailing for a couple of years and would be back in touch in 2028. I don't know. I'm not sure how to deal with that one, but anyway. It was when I was working on the south coast of England that I got a letter from my dad telling me that he and Judy, my stepmother, would be in Rome for a few days later that summer. And could I possibly meet them there? I wrote back and said I would. He'd given me the dates and his hotel information. I took a night flight out of Gatwick and ended up sitting next to this beautiful girl from New Zealand. We got along great. And before the plane landed in Rome, we decided that when we got to Rome, we would share a hotel room. That all sounded pretty good to me, if you know what I mean. And it was. These things happen, you know. I mentioned before that I was born under a lucky star. Well, the next morning, I was planning on meeting my dad and Judy. I asked the girl if she remembered the name of the hotel where we were staying, and she told me that it was the Ibis Roma Fiera. The name sounded familiar. Ibis is the name of a bird in South Africa. I dug in my bag and found my dad's letter. Turns out they were staying at the exact same hotel. I called down to the front desk and asked what room Mr. and Mrs. Hancock were in, and they gave me the room number. I looked at the key for our room. Dad and Judy were just a couple of doors over. You cannot make this stuff up, but as I've said repeatedly, I've had a charmed life. Back to sailing the Jutta Canal. We crossed Lake Vernon and locked ourselves up into a second lake called Lake Vitone. It too had a castle that was at the end of a spit of land which stuck out into the lake. We anchored off and I read the girls a book about a fairy tale princess that lived in a castle far, far away in a place like Sweden. After Lake Vitone, things got a bit more industrial. The name of the canal changed from the Jutta Canal to the Trollhätte Canal. We soon encountered some ships, and the locks were big and imposing. We had to tap alongside small freighters that were locking their way to Gothenburg. Still, I found it quite magical. We spent a few nights in Gothenburg and then headed for Copenhagen in Denmark. Now, Copenhagen is the city I could get used to. It was clean, old, and romantic. Even me, at just 22 years old, I could figure out that it was a romantic city. We visited Tivoli Gardens and it was wonderful. Many years later, I went back to Tivoli Gardens and it didn't seem the same. I guess memories are filtered through time and my memories have always been filtered through rose-colored glasses. We cruised through the Danish archipelago, which was just incredibly beautiful, and finally came to our destination, a boatyard on a small island and where the boat would stay for the winter. In 1980, my sister Sue moved her family from South Africa to Calgary. It was a shocking change from the heat of Africa to the brutal cold of an Alberta winter. But she was not interested in having her boys being drafted into any senseless war in South Africa. It was a pretty bold move, if you ask me. My dad and I agreed to meet her there. I had bought an old Mustang and planned to drive her to Canada, having absolutely no idea how far it was across the country from one side to the other. George Minden kindly offered up his hotel, the Windsor Arms, for a few days of free accommodation, and I arranged to meet my dad there. I left my small apartment in Marblehead and drove to Toronto. I was just going over the Peace Bridge that leads into Canada when it started snowing. I had never been in snow before, and it was quite awesome. I got to the hotel and it was just perfect. Very British, very quaint, and very, very upmarket. I took a shower and went for a walk and wondered why my hair felt different. My hair had frozen. I had no idea that would happen. Well, that's growing up in South Africa for you. My dad was scheduled to arrive a few days later, so the following day I went out exploring the area. I thought that my dad was coming in the next day, but I screwed up. He arrived the day that I was out exploring the countryside. I wasn't there to pick him up at the airport, so he took a taxi to the hotel. When he arrived, he was sure that it had to be the wrong hotel. I'm not sure what he was expecting, but he was expecting a five-star place. When he checked in, he was greeted like an old friend by the front desk. At this point, he was sure that he was in the wrong hotel. He found his luxurious room, and no sooner had he settled in, there was a knock on the door. It was a waiter with a big bowl of fruit and some flowers. This was getting to be too much for my dad. Well, he decided to take a bath, and then there was another knock on the door. The waiter was there with a bottle of VSOP cognac, one of South Africa's best, compliments of the hotel manager. Luckily, I arrived back at the hotel, and Dad knew that he was in the right place after all. I was totally embarrassed to have missed picking him up, but I think Dad was already halfway through the bottle of cognac and really didn't care. He convinced me to leave my car in Toronto and fly to Calgary, which was a good idea, It would have been a long drive to Western Canada in the dead of winter. What can I say? I'm South African. I had no clue. We stayed with my sister and her husband John and their boys Brett and Justin, and then took a Greyhound bus across the Rockies to visit friends that lived on Vancouver Island. It was, as I already mentioned, the dead of winter, and of course we got caught in numerous snowstorms. It was just great fun and a great memory that Dad and I had, and we talked about it for many years afterwards. My dad sent George Minden a case of excellent South African wine as a thank you. I have no idea where he and Pamela and the girls are now, but both girls must be pushing 50 with families of their own. I hope that they remember me. I'm sure that they remember that beautiful summer spent in Sweden. Well, I wrote a fictional story in my book of short stories, Twisted Tales, about a bus trip across the Canadian Rockies in winter. It's a really good one, and there's a twist in there, just like it should. That story is called Miranda. There's also a semi-true story about my trip across Sweden in the Göta Canal with George and Pamela and the two girls. It's also in the Twisted Tales. The story is called Ruby. And well, I hope you enjoyed the story, and thank you, as always, for listening. For all of my books, please go to www.brianhancockbooks.org. It's .org, not .com. There you'll find all of my books, my Substack blogs, stories, and very soon my podcasts. There'll be interviews with sailing legends, and I think you'll enjoy all of the content. So please check in and say hello, and thanks as always for listening.